We deal with the adversities of life, pain, hardship, tragedy, health issues, financial struggles, even sinful failures. The question of why often comes up in our minds. Why is God doing this to me? Why doesn't God deliver me from this? Perhaps a related question is, why do such bad things happen to God's children? In the next section of 2 Corinthians 4, beginning with verse 7, Paul helps us to understand some of this why. Not all of it, but some of it. To understand why the adversities of life. Notice verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. In Paul's days, they didn't have banks like we have. Families might put their spare coins in a clay pot, and they would hide that pot somewhere in the house or perhaps bury it in the yard. In fact, many of these small hoards have been found by archaeologists throughout Bible lands and what was the Roman Empire at that time. The jars were just cheap clay pots, nothing special, usually broken. But the real value was in what they contained, the family treasure, gold coins, silver coins, perhaps bronze coins. Paul is using this practice as a picture of the Christian life. We are, he says, jars of clay. We are vessels of baked dirt. Very similar to what you might know of as a terracotta pot. I would say inexpensive. I don't know if terracotta pots are cheap anymore. But he's saying we're just baked dirt. A pot of earthen vessel. Not much value. And we crack easily and are broken easily. And like those ancient jars, our value is not in ourselves. It is in what we contain. Paul says we are containers holding the glorious light of the glory of God Himself. Verse 6. Sinners that we are, we tend to think too highly of ourselves. We tend to think that we are made of gold, or should be. That we're the treasure. We have such great value. The secularists will tell us that. If you play chess, we think of ourselves as the queen. Paul is explaining how actually we are just pawns or less. Our purpose is not to advance ourselves, but to advance the king. And we are just easily broken, fragile pots. We're made like Adam, of dust of the earth. And our real value is not in ourselves, but in what we contain. The glory is not in the jar. The glory is in the treasure. Paul is explaining that the treasure is the glory of the Lord. That glory that's transforming us, he says previously, as we looked at last week, from glory to glory. Exceedingly glorious. It's that glory of the Lord that is the treasure within every believer. It's interesting, but historically, down through the ages, God has delighted to use weak and fragile vessels to accomplish His purposes and to show forth His glory. You remember back in the Old Testament, in the book of Judges, Israel was oppressed by the Midianites. In fact, we're told they were oppressed for 7 years, and the Midianites would come in about harvest time and scoop up all the harvest and take it for themselves and go back home, and tax them and so on. Finally, the people called out to God for deliverance, and God called a man by the name of Gideon to deliver the Israelites. And Gideon raised an army of 32,000 men. Pretty weak a lot, given the large numbers of the Midianite army, who at this point in time had invaded Israel again. But what's interesting is what God told Gideon. And God said, the people that are with you, 30,000 men, are too many. Too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. Otherwise, Israel will vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. So God had Gideon whittle down that army to 100 men. Or 300 men, excuse me. Well, the glory is not the army, but in the army's God. And these 300 men surrounded the Midianites at night in the hill all around the camp. And what they did was something interesting. They put torches in large clay pots. You wondered where I was going with this, didn't you? And then at Gideon's signal, they broke those pots. And the torches were lifted up. And the trumpets were blown. And God brought about chaos and confusion in the Midianite camp, and they began killing each other in the darkness. And they were defeated. And Israel was delivered from their oppression. You see, those clay pots that the men of Gideon had were not the point. They were meant to hide the light until they were broken, and then they would reveal the light. And that was the point. In a like manner, our reason for living, our purpose in life, is not to serve ourselves, not to advance our own comfort and our own success. Not that those things are in and of themselves wrong. But our purpose, our reason for living, is to serve the living God and to show forth the treasure, the glory of God that is within us as His people. As Christians, we need to understand that we are just clay pots. And we are frail. We are cracked. Sometimes we're broken. Our lives, perhaps, are a mess. Our successes, a fleeting mirage. But it's in this breaking, this cracking, this weakness, this failure that we experience that God shows forth His power, shows forth His glory to those around us. We need to understand that God is not restricted by our inadequacies and weakness. In fact, Paul is telling us it's just the opposite. It is through our brokenness, it is through the cracks, that the treasure and the power of God is revealed. The treasure is not us. It's not in our overcoming. But the excellence, verse 7, is God's power and God's glory. Centuries ago, there was a king of Persia, and he collected tribute money, gold and silver from his subjects. And he would melt that down and he would pour it into clay pots. And when the gold or the silver had cooled, they would break the clay pots and they would have these beautiful ingots of gold and silver. The treasure was the gold and the silver, not the pot. Clay pot was made to be broken. They were simply a means of temporarily holding the glory of the gold. And that was what was important. In the same way, God is working in and through us, not to glorify us, not to exalt us, the clay pots, not to show our greatness, our wisdom, our insight, but rather to reveal through us, and often our brokenness and our frailty, to reveal the power of God within us. Like the Persian king, God is breaking up his clay pots in order to reveal the treasure of his glory to the world. You might read Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter of faith, and great men and women of faith down through the centuries, and you will see how they were often broken, cracked pots through which God revealed and showed his glory. The difficulties and the setbacks in our lives are not defeating us. And they're not hindering the advance of the kingdom. It's just the opposite. They are so that the light of the treasure of the kingdom that is within us can shine out of our lives into the darkness of the world. So Paul says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. What does it mean, we're hard pressed on every side? Well, sometimes that word, well, it's two words, but it's one word in Greek. It's hard pressed, is sometimes translated just tribulation. It's actually, at its very root, to be in a narrow, confined spot. Years ago, there was a TV program called The Vice. I cannot remember any of the stories. I don't even know if I ever even watched it as a child. But it was someone who is in difficult circumstances, often because of their own misdeeds. And then the consequences, the narrowing and the tribulation that resulted from that. But what's interesting is the opening graphic. It's always stuck with me. It was of a man between two walls, and those walls were gradually closing in on him, threatening to crush him. And that's the idea of this word. Life can often be like that. Think of the proverb, it never rains, but that it pours. It's kind of, the walls start coming in, and then they come in faster. Hard things, difficult things pour down upon us, overwhelming us from every side. Not always, maybe not usually, but all of us, I am sure, have or are going through such times. Hard things, difficult things, compounding our agony, our desperation, and we are hard pressed on every side, and there seems to be no way out. Well, as Christians, we can be confident that these difficult things are not in our lives to destroy us. They are not in our lives to punish us for some sin we have done. Sometimes, but not usually. Rather, they are in our lives to reveal the power of God that is within us through our weakness, through our frailty, and our cracking, as we walk by faith, trusting God in our afflictions, they do not crush us. They might hurt. They might frustrate us, but they will not smash us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, the apostle writes, "There has no temptation," and you could insert the word trial or affliction there. That's what he's talking about. "No trial has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." The temptations, the trials, the afflictions of life are not to crush you, but to release, if you will, the fragrance of God from us. Notice chapter 2, verse 14. Paul says, "Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." Those trials, those difficulties are the cracks in the jar that let the light of the treasure come out, that let the fragrance of Christ waft about you. He says, we're perplexed. Oh my, how often aren't we perplexed? The word means to be at a loss. In the chaos of life and the pressures of life, we are so often in a situation we don't know what to do. What is right? What does God want us to do? And God's will isn't always clear for us. Life is often perplexing. What's interesting is this was true even of the Apostle Paul. He didn't always know what God wanted him to do. In fact, there are times he tells us, and he tells us the stories, we read about them in his epistles and in Acts, where he went in a certain direction only to have God stop him and say, "No, I want you to go this way." Even Paul had times where he was perplexed. Many things in Scripture are black and white. God says, do this, or he says, don't do that. Very clear. But much of life is in a gray area. And the right choice, the decision to make is uncertain. The right way is unclear. And so we're perplexed. We're filled with doubt. We're filled with uncertainty. We second guess ourselves. But Paul says, this might be true, but we never give in to despair. We don't give up confidence in God. We don't give up the life of faith. The life of faith means sometimes we walk in the dark. We take uncertain steps. But we trust God to lead us in such perplexing times when we cannot see the path clearly that we should take. Paul says we're persecuted. If you're living for the Lord, you can expect persecution. Paul was jailed. He was beaten. He was driven from towns. And eventually he was killed for the faith. Even Jesus. Jesus was perfect. He was sinless. He was loving. He was kind. He was good. He healed people of great diseases. He should be praised. But he was persecuted. And eventually he was killed. It's an interesting play on words that the Apostle Paul uses here. The word persecuted means to pursue closely. So it is to be close behind. The word not forsaken means to not leave behind. So the picture is being chased from the rear closely, But God is just in front of us. He's not leaving us behind. And He's leading us. Satan and his minions will pursue you. They will seek to break you. Remember Job. God brought things and allowed things through Satan to come into Job's life to glorify God in his brokenness. Satan wanted, through those very same things, to get Job to curse God and die. But though Satan is seeking to destroy you and to break you and to discourage you and to sideline you, your Lord will never leave you in Satan's power. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And He leads us right in front of us to green pastures, through the valley of the shadow of death. He's right there in front of us. The psalmist rejoiced in this. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We will be persecuted, but never forsaken. We're struck down. The word literally means, that Paul uses, to be thrown down. So it has a sense of intensity to it. A harshness, a suddenness, like an auto accident hitting a deer. An unexpected calamity. The reality is that catastrophes do and will come into the lives of believers, just like they do the lives of unbelievers. Christians can be struck down with incurable diseases. Christians can suffer heart attacks or strokes, can be hit by cancer. But these things will not destroy the child of God. This word destroy, you know, it's Apollyon. A form of it is the name of Satan. Satan is Apollyon, the scripture says. He is the destroyer. He doesn't build anything. He just tears down the things of God. So we might lose a battle, but we will never lose the war. And we're subject to all the afflictions and the vagaries of life, just as much as anyone else. Becoming a Christian doesn't give you a free pass from anything bad. But they will not destroy us. They will not ultimately, Romans chapter 8, separate us from the love of God. We must always remember, as we face the difficulties of life, we are not at their mercies. We are God's. We're God's people. We're in God's care. He is our defender. Psalm 91:11. For He shall give His angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Every child of God is always in His care. What an amazing thing. And there's other passages that talk about our angels. But His angels surround you and protect you always. And yet Paul says we are always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. So we are hard pressed, we're perplexed in life, we're persecuted and hounded, we're thrown down, we're cracked and we're broken. We are, Paul says, the embodiments of the dying of the Lord. But in our dying, the life of Jesus is manifested, made known, revealed. And the cracking of our clay vessels, like the Persian king, the treasure, the glory of God, is able to shine forth. This is the paradox of Christianity. Life flows from death. The death of Christ on the cross brings life to believers. The believers dying to self, dying to the world, sometimes even physically suffering and dying, reveals the life and the glory of Christ to all those around us. There's a line in the hymn, "O Love That Will Not Let Me Go." It's by George Matheson. It touches on this. The line goes this way: "I lay in dust, life's glory dead. And from the ground there blossoms red, life that shall endless be." That's the glory of the gospel that Paul is talking about. Christ calls us to take up our cross daily and follow him. As a believer, we are to die to self and live for Christ. And his glory shines through our brokenness, through the cracks in our lives, through our adversities, our persecutions. Psalmist put it, Psalm 44:22, "Yet for your sake we are killed all day long." So that wouldn't be literally killed. That would be afflictions and persecutions and hardships. All day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. It's always been this way for the people of God. Abel loved God, worshiped God rightly, and was murdered for it. It's 180 degrees from the thinking of the world. You need to understand that the Christian worldview is in opposition to the world's view of life, to the media's view, the movies, the songs, the newspapers, all of it is 180 degrees in opposition to the worldview of Scripture. Suffering and death to the world are defeat, they're failure. And I am not suggesting in any manner that we should pursue defeat and suffering. There have been in history those that have done that. That's not what the Scriptures are teaching us. What the Scripture is teaching us is that when those things do come into our lives, they are of God and for a purpose to show forth His glory. And so the Christian, we understand that. We understand that the adversities of life are a way that God reveals His glory, His goodness, His light to the world. So Paul says in verse 12, "So then death is working in us, but life in you." Paul is saying that in his suffering, in his persecution, even in his perplexity, God is working to bring life to them, the Corinthians, and to others that he's ministering to, that through these things he's showing forth his glory. That Paul's dying to self is bringing life and joy, the life and joy of the gospel and of Jesus Christ to them and to others. And these words of Paul are true of all of us as disciples of Jesus Christ. And that's his argument, that's his point. What God is doing through Paul is what God is doing through you and me. He's showing his glory, his goodness, his grace, through us, through our lives. The world is watching us. Our children are watching us. Our friends and co-workers are watching us. They are observing how we suffer. They are observing how we handle adversities and afflictions and persecution. How we are handling the cracking of our earthly vessels. And they see if we are truly living by faith. If we really live as though we have an absolutely sovereign God who is omnipotent. They see. They see if we're living for the world and the things of the world and the treasures of the world, or are we living for the Lord and the treasures of eternity? In the words of Jesus, they see if we're laying up treasure on earth or if we're laying up treasure in glory. If you are a Christian, God is at work revealing Himself through you, through your dying, through your dying to sin, dying to self, dying to this world. Knowing this, Paul says, we do not lose heart. Because our brokenness, our weakness, our afflictions are revealing God's glory. And we can trust Him and rest in Him in all of these things. Knowing this, we're able to rejoice always. Ephesians 5:20. Paul says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing this, that every step of our life is directed of God. Because as the psalmist, Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delights in his way. So we can rest in our good shepherd and not be overwhelmed or overcome by the trials and afflictions of life. Because what God is doing in us, in our lives, through our weakness, through our failure, through our suffering, through our struggles, they are all ways that God is working to show forth His glory and to shine the light of the glorious gospel through our lives into the lives of others. Shall we pray? Father, how thankful we are that as we face the adversities of life, we can be confident that they are not accidents, but they are a part of Your working to show forth Your glory through our lives. Lord, we pray that You would grant us greater faith to trust You in these things and to rejoice even in our afflictions, knowing that You are bringing glory to Christ through such things. Grant us greater faith, Father. Grant us the ability to walk by faith and rejoice that You are glorifying Yourself through us. We thank You for this encouragement and this hope that we have from Your Word. In the name of Christ our Lord, amen.